at your table and surrounded by your glory, for in your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be.
Amen. Amen. Thank y'all. Amen. How many loves the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate Him for all of His goodness and His love for us. Amen. Amen. Oh, I tell you, He did something else, didn't He? Amen. Hallelujah.
Read this to you, then I got a couple of testimonies we share with you, and then we'll just get back to
the Lord. Amen. This is called "The Pastor Stole Our Spoon." Said a pastor had a dinner at the home of a couple in his church. After he left, the wife said to the husband, "I think he stole our spoon." That bothered her for a whole year. A year later, the couple had the pastor for dinner again. Unable to resist, the wife asked, "Did you steal our spoon last year?" The pastor replied, "No, I put it inside your Bible." So you know what that means. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A couple of testimonies I share with you. We was visiting church in South Carolina, and the pastor, and, you know, not calling no names, which he probably wouldn't mind if I called his name, and loved the brother. Visiting the church there, and what he did, he made a box, a little box, and he put everybody's name that attended the church in that box, and he gave everyone, every household, one of them boxes. Then that book that Brother Tim Dodd put out, he put out three of them, you know, Family Altar and, you know, different ones. So he gave the first volume to each one to each family. And he said, "What I want you to do," he said, "every day pull out a name out of that box. And be for brother or sister, whoever it would be, that they would draw that name out that day." And said, during the course of that day, said, "Pray for that brother or sister whose name you pulled out." And said, "You know, just when you think about them, just pray for them, because, you know, you never know." He said, and they testified to me that one time they pulled out, and three families pulled out. I can't remember if it was a brother or sister's name, same name, three families. So you just don't know, you know. And so me and my wife went back home, so that's what we did. We made us a box, put everybody's name in the church that attends our church. And so every day, and we still do it, every day we pull out a name and pray for that person. So we was eating at one of the local restaurants there a couple weeks ago. And a brother, young man, just, I don't know how long he's been going to the church, just, you know, got a hold of the message and just started coming to church, and his brother had been coming, and in fact his brother married our organ player, and he's one of the preachers, one of the ministers there at the church. Anyway, he came to the restaurant while we was eating, said, "You seen us?" He came over there, shake our hands, and said, "How y'all doing?" We said, "Yeah." He said, "Hey, could y'all pray for me?" He said, "I'm in the process of trying to get a different job, and just want y'all to pray for me." And said, "Would you?" I said, "Yeah, we'll pray for you." He said, "I just want the Lord's will." And so we went home that night, and we pulled out his name. And so then a sister in the church, she group texted everybody and said, "You know, you need to pray for my daughter's dad, or for my daughter, said her dad passed away, and said pray for her, pray for me. And so, lo and behold, we pulled her name. You know, you never know how mindful God is of each and every one of us. He's awful mindful of each and every one of us. Amen. So just remember that, church, that He loves you and He appreciates, and, you know, amen. So I just appreciate that. Amen. And just, you know, you just never know. You know, and just, you know, and the other day I was telling somebody that my wife, and, you know, she'd been away for, you know, a week and a half, a couple of weeks, and we was out in Texas preaching, and then she caught a ride with somebody, went on to New Mexico because she's got family in New Mexico and was visiting. I had to go back home because I had to be somewhere else the next weekend in South Carolina, and just we was up there preaching. And I said I was going to go home and archive it and see exactly, but there was a young man, I don't know how old he was. He's sitting on the front row, and he's got three sons, and one of his, and the youngest son, he's got problems with his heart. And I can't remember what the problem was, but he came back after the service and said, Brother David, said, can I share a testimony with you? I said, yes, sir, certainly, brother. He said, one of the last, during the course of the service, while you was praying, one of your last prayers, said something happened. He said, touch my son's heart, and it started beating regular again. I said, thank you, Lord. Amen. Nothing that, not just because I'm preaching. Brother Bram said on Paul, a prisoner of Christ, and you man come up here, and Brother Doug or I, whoever it may be, may lay their hands on them, and they get well. He said, look at Brother Doug. He said, no, you don't judge it that way. He said, you look and see what kind of fruit that man's life is bearing. Amen. I want to be a Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. So just share them things with you. Stand together again tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 John. Get a little water. Kind of got dry this morning, you know. But I appreciate the Lord. Amen. And, you know, but Micah didn't have no way of knowing what I was going to preach on, but he's singing several songs about the love of God. Amen. 1 John 4:16. It says, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. How many's got a need tonight? Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you and we appreciate you, Lord. And we thank you so much for, again, another opportunity of being able to come to your house, Lord Jesus. And once again, we want to say we appreciate Brother Doug inviting us. We're thankful, Lord God, that you gave us a friend like Brother Doug, Lord. Father, we appreciate him, appreciate his stand for the word. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd bless him, this congregation tonight, Lord God. Lord, there's no perfect church. Lord, when people say, well, I'm going to leave, I want to go find a perfect church, when they get there, then it's not perfect anymore. But, Father, we just want to be in your will, Father. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us once again tonight as we endeavor to try to say something that would bless your people, Father. I pray, Lord, you move the vessel aside and you do the speaking, Father. Anoint lips of clay, Lord, that I may be able to say those things that you would have for me to say. Refrain from those things that you would not want me to say, Father. Pray, Lord, you anoint the hearts and ears of the listener tonight, Father. They'll be able to receive those things that they have need of, Father. And Lord, we have a promise, Lord. For you said in your word that when that word goes forth, it would not return back void. For when it goes out, it accomplished what it is sent for to accomplish, what its purpose is for. Lord, may it be that way tonight, Father. We're standing on your word, Lord God. Whatever it's to do, if it's to rebuke, let it rebuke. If it's to exhort, may it exhort. If it's to lift up, may it lift up tonight, Father. And when we leave this building tonight, we can say like they did on the road to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us as you talked with us along the way? And we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it all. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to take for a thought tonight, if I can, a psalm of remembrance. A psalm of remembrance. And for a theme, do you know the love of God? Do you know the love of God? read that again if I can out of the Amplified. Then I want to read a quote that the prophet said. Again, out of the Amplified, 1 John 4:16. And we know, understand, recognize, are conscious of by observation and by experience, and believe, adhere to, and put faith in and rely on the love God cherishes for us. God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. Would you quote that the prophet of God said, if I can? Have Faith in God, 1954, New York. Brother, sister, that's what the world needs today. It's some more love of God. That's what the world's hungry for today. It's more love of God. If we'd show a little more love to one another, a little more love towards God, how much better our churches and individuals, and how much better we'd be if we just love one another. If we love one another, then we can love God, for God is love. Do you know the love of God? Now, I was thinking about this, and you know, just talking about the Christian experience for a little bit. If you were to ask a so-called Christian, and you say, well, Brother David, why do you say a so-called Christian? Because I don't believe everybody that claims to believe this message is bride. If I'd put on a policeman uniform tonight, that don't make me a policeman. If I put on a doctor uniform, that don't make me a doctor. Just because you come to this church don't make you a Christian. Amen. Oh my. Said if you were to ask a so-called Christian of his experience of the love of God. Now again, I want to read something that the prophet of God said. I thought, man, this is outstanding. Message, Standing in the Gap, Jeffersonville, 1963. That's talking about predestination, foreknowledge, and all that. Someone said some time ago, said, if I believed a thing like that, would I ever turn on the steam? I'd paint the town red. I'd go to every dance hall. I'd get drunk and everything, because why? You're already secured in Christ. What difference does it make? I said, that shows you haven't got it. He said, if the love of God ever struck your heart in the tenderness of Jesus Christ, you'd be so in love with him, the world would be dead as your sin. Oh, I like that. Amen. I'll read that again. He said, that shows you haven't got it. He said, if the love of God ever struck your heart in the tenderness of Jesus Christ, you'd be so in love with him, the world would be dead to as your sin. That's how you know you have the Holy Spirit. Not because that you could scream. And we could scream tonight. Amen. We could run the aisles tonight. Amen. He said, not because you could scream, shout, speak with tongues, though that's all part of it. Or whatever it is, but when sin becomes dead and you're alive in Jesus Christ, he says, oh, love of God, how rich, how pure. Amen. So if you would ask the so-called Christian tonight about his love, amen, about his experience of the love of God, his answer would probably raise doubts. Amen. And he would show reluctance about his experience of the love of God. But to ask tonight a real born again Christian about his experience of the love of God in one statement, he would answer like this, joyously. And I say joyously, he would answer, because I believe it's a joy in coming to church. I believe it's a joy in serving God. See, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now see, joy and happy, that's two different words. Happy comes from a word, hap, the root word hap, or happen. And in other words, in order for you to be happy, something has to happen. You get the raise on the job, you're happy. The pastor shakes your hand, you're happy. They sing your favorite song, you're happy. But joy that comes from a different source altogether. It comes from the Creator Himself. And if they don't sing your favorite song, if the pastor don't shake your hand, you still got the joy of the Lord. Amen. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that. Amen. So joyously, he would say, I will say nothing about myself, but I will speak to the honor of God. I am sweetly constrained to affirm that I have known and have believed the love that God has for me. Amen. So in this Christian experience, amen, true, men, you have trials tonight. We have battles. We have difficulties. We have disappointments. Amen. Let me say it like this. You're either in a battle tonight, or you're coming out of a battle, or you're fixing to go into a battle. But you're in a battle. Amen. We all have trials and disappointments. Amen. But it's just as true that we are delivered out of them. Because the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Amen. So tonight, I don't care how many afflictions you have, I got a God that can deliver you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. Oh, true. We have corruptions. And know this for a fact, but it's just as true that we have an all-sufficient Savior tonight. Amen. Who overcomes them corruptions and enables us to put Satan beneath our feet. Hallelujah. Amen. That's where I want him to stay tonight. It's beneath my feet. Amen. Hallelujah. That's where he belongs. Amen. I'm getting tired of coming into the house of God and defeated and walking out defeated. Amen. I don't believe we're going to barely make it in. Amen. But I believe we're going to make it in. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight. Amen. Remember when Brother Brown prayed for a certain person? I think it was a sister. He said, don't never let a frown come on your face. Amen. He said, always confess. Right. Amen. He moves by the confession, amen, of our faith. I want to confess tonight, amen, that I am a Christian, that I am the bride of Christ, that I am delivered, that I am healed, amen, that I am born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, it would be wrong to deny that we've been through despondency. Because each and every one of us in here tonight have probably been in despondence. See, one time or another. We felt useless. We felt like nobody cares. Yeah. Am I speaking to somebody tonight? Amen. We've been through despondency. We felt, hey, nobody wants to give us the time of day. Nobody wants to talk to us. Amen. Been through despondency. And we crept along in the valley of humiliation. Amen. We've been there. Oh, but we can say we have been through them, but have not remained in them. Hallelujah. We've been through them, but not remained in them. We've not left our bones to be bleached in the burning sun, nor our bodies to be the prey of the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. See, our sorrows have been the heralds of mercies. Amen. I can say this tonight. Amen. And say that we've all been through sorrow. Amen. I think about my pastor at home. It'd been 2 years since he lost his wife. Yeah, he's been through sorrow. He still thinks about her. Yeah. Amen. Oh, my. And I thought, you asked my wife. I thought, my, I have never seen him. When Sister Margie passed away, I've never seen him act that way. Right. I thought, my. And I thought, God. Amen. But our sorrows have been the heralds of our mercies. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I was guilty. The judge said, do you have anything to say? Amen. I was about to speak up, and that's when mercy walked in and pleaded my case. The blood was presented. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that mercy walked in. Ain't you glad tonight? Amen. That mercy walked in and pleaded your case. Amen. We had somebody to stand for us. Amen. It kind of reminds me. I don't know if Brother Doug remembers or not, but here a few years ago, or maybe a couple years ago, maybe last year, we'd all gathered at Brother Tim Hume's minister's meeting. Well, I like the story that Brother, having a senior moment, Barry Coffey told. There's this bum that was living on the streets, homeless. Well, this guy, they always picked on him, threw things at him, and kept prodding him and prodding him and prodding him. Kept prodding him. And this one guy in particular would keep prodding him and keep, you know, keep messing with him. So that homeless person grabbed up a board and struck that guy in the head and killed him. Well, that homeless person was on trial. So they got this new defense attorney that would take the case of that homeless person. He gets up in the courtroom and he begins to say, now, turns to the audience there, turns to the jury, said, I thank you for letting me take this case. Turn to the judge, I thank you. And he kept on and kept on and kept on. You know how it is, kept on and all that. And all of a sudden that judge got kind of aggravated. Amen. And he picked up that mallet and slammed it and said, shut up, shut up. And the lawyer said, I rest my case. And the homeless man was set free. Because you never know how much a person can take. Amen. You never know, amen, how much a person can handle. But we got a promise that God said he would never put us, amen, put no more on us than we couldn't bear without he'd make a way of escape for us. Hallelujah. So our sorrows have been the heralds of his mercies. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that they have. Amen. Our grief can't mar or destroy the melody of our praise. Amen. I ain't going to let no grief mar the melody of my praise. Just because your church gets burned or a lady gets mugged going into our church, I'm still going to go to the church house and I'm going to give God all my glory and all my praise. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to give him everything I've got. Amen. I'm going to praise him with my whole body, my whole mind, and my whole being. Amen. Because I believe he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our glory. So why should we let some grief that we're going through destroy the melody of our praise? Amen. Why should we? Amen. Hey, if he never blesses us again, we owe him everything. Amen. Because who am I anyway? Amen. Like I said this morning, out of my wife's family, immediate family, she's the one that serves God. Amen. And talk about, he said, do they respect her? Now it's come to a point where you can hardly get anybody to respect you anymore. Amen. Get to that point. But God, help me to live in such a way, amen, that it wouldn't destroy my praise for you, Lord. Amen. It wouldn't destroy my testimony for you, Lord. I don't know why I had to go through these things, Lord, but there's a purpose in it. Amen. And why that purpose, let me be made more of a Christian. Let me come out on the other side. Amen. Still being faithful to you. Hallelujah. I imagine Job didn't know. He probably didn't understand what he was going through. I think Brother Ram said in one place, he needed God to know that he needed more patience. Whew. Oh my. Oh, wouldn't you like God to send you facts? Amen. Now this week, this is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to go through. But he don't do that. Amen. I'd love for him to do that. Amen, Brother Doug. But hey, he don't do that. Amen, all the time. Hey, in the morning,
We may get up, and the worst, you know, the worst days I've had is on Mondays after I preach two services and God comes down, heaven comes down, and the next day hell turns loose. Amen. But I tell you one thing, amen, let all hell, let the devil do what he wants to. God's done his best when he gave his life for me at Calvary. Hallelujah. And I want to have my day at Calvary. And then if I do that, God can have his way with me. Amen. Hallelujah. So I ain't going to let my grief that I go through destroy the melody of my praise. In fact, the deeper our troubles, the louder our thanks to God. Hallelujah. It's kind of like this. We used to live in South Carolina. We went to Brother Jason Watkins' church. Y'all know him? They got the Marine Corps air station there. Amen. They say the little sign in front of it as you're going through the gates, the noise that you hear in here is the sound of freedom. Them jets breaking the sound barrier. Amen. Back home where we live, we got what they call the Pelham Range. They train different people like the National Guard. And every now and then you can hear them practice it. And them guns are blaring and everything. And them tanks they got. And it'll rattle the whole wall at the house. Amen. But they put up on my wife's Facebook one time, her feet said, the noise you hear here today is a noise of freedom. That kind of reminds me one time when a little man by the name of Jesus came riding through on a donkey through Jerusalem. They was throwing palm branches in the way. They was throwing their coats in the way. Said, praise him that cometh in the name of the Lord. And this woman, she was just getting it, giving him praise. They stopped her and said, hey, why don't you be quiet? Why don't you hush up? She said, you don't know who I am. I'm the widow Nan. See, I couldn't do this. My husband had died. And then my boy died. And I needed my son. But because of that man on the donkey, he came by one day and he stopped the funeral procession. Don't tell me to hush up. I got a right to praise him. I got a right to give him glory. There's a little man. Give him praise and glory. They said, hush, be quiet. You don't know who I am? I'm the maniac of Gadara. Don't tell me to hush up. Amen. Hey, a year ago, this couldn't be so. I was wandering out in the tombs, cutting myself. They'd bind me with fetters and chains. I'd break them asunder. Not me, but the demons in me. But that little man on the donkey came my way. Hallelujah. Now don't tell me to be quiet. Amen. Oh my. Amen. There's an army rising up. I said there's a bride rising up. I can hear the chains falling. And the noise you in here tonight is a noise of freedom. Amen. Oh, do you know the love of God? Hallelujah. I know the love of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I put my Amen. I put my trials into account. I do. But I still declare that I've known and believe the love of God. Amen. Amen. That he has for me. Let me just look at this Christian experience again. We can see the love of God by looking all around us. Look around you tonight. You're blessed. You woke up this morning. You was a recipient of a miracle. A lot of people didn't wake up this morning. I wonder how they stood with God. But you got an opportunity to come in here and give God praise and glory. Amen. You got an opportunity to come here and hear the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody penned this song. Oh, I love it. Amen. How many times must I prove how much I love you? How many ways must my love for you I show? How many times must I rescue from trouble for you to know just how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning clothed, amen, were you clothed in your right mind when you walked on this problem? Didn't I step right on time? Amen. Oh, amen. He's never too early and he's never too late, but he's always on time. Hallelujah. Amen. When you got weak along life's journey, my angel carried you so you would know how much I love you. How many days must I be a fence around you? How many nights must I wipe your tears away? How many storms must I bring you through for you to know how much I love you? Didn't I put food on your table? Show up when the bills were due? When the pain was racking your body? Didn't I send healing down to you? When you were lost in sin and sorrow, I died so you could be free, so you would know how much I love you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad, amen, that he loves me tonight. Let me tell you something. My wife sitting there, she worked. We moved. I left a good job in Amarillo. Worked there for 17 years. You say, well, you shouldn't go where the grass looks greener on the other side. I'll tell you one thing, brother and sister, it didn't look greener. But we left there, just felt led that we had to go. We went to South Carolina. Was there. My wife worked there. Then we moved where we at because Brother Homer kept calling me. And I'd go just about almost twice a month helping him. So I just felt led to go and prayed about it, felt led to go help him. So my wife found a job. She was working. And so here, the first of the year, she decided to say, well, David, I've just been praying about it, and I just feel like I need to quit. I need to step down and just, I want to be more of a wife. I want to be able to stay at home, listen to more tapes, read my Bible more, pray for myself, pray for the church, and pray for you more. Amen. I said, all right, we'll pray about it. So we started praying, and you don't think the devil, oh, he don't like it. Amen. We started praying. I think it's one of the, next services we was there. Brother Homer gets up. We hadn't talked to Brother Homer. He gets up and he says, and he starts, he just reads a quote about where the prophet of God said, a woman's place is at home in the kitchen. My wife said, all right, that's my answer right there. Amen. She got her sister to help her. She tapped out a nice resignation, turned it in. You could have heard a pin drop when she went to her director and turned that resignation in. But during that day, in the course of that week, she knew, said, I've done the right thing. She said, David, what are we going to do? I said, God has always provided, and he still will provide. He said, has it been hard? Yes, it's been hard, but my God is still a provider. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I know the love of God. Amen. Oh, my. Oh, he shows right up on time when the bills is due. Amen. Hallelujah. So look all around you now. Amen. And see all what God has done for you. Amen. What he has given you. Amen. What he has put in your hands. We are blessed in our going out and in our coming in. He has set my feet upon a rock and he's established my goings. Thus, I know the love of God. He said, how do you know the love of God? Oh, can I read you another song? Hey, Yacht's brother sung this. Brother Lemuel wrote it many years ago. Now, I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word. What have I ever done to deserve such glory that's revealed in me? Thanks for that special night when I saw your glorious light, came face to face with eternal life. And Lord, I thank you. You didn't have to open my eyes. You could have easily passed me by. For the age I was living in was wretched, poor, and blind. What about it, friends? What about it, brothers and sisters? This age, wretched, poor, and blind. They said they didn't have need of nothing, so he could have easily passed me and you by. Whew. Amen. Brother Homer, my pastor, says when he first heard God of this evil age, he said he didn't know. He said, I didn't see that. I didn't see what the prophet was talking about until now. Brother Branham was a prophet. He preached under prophetic inspiration. And the things that he spoke about nearly 50 years ago, we see coming to pass. So don't tell me that he made mistakes and all this, all that. Hey, man. He said, well, he said this story and hearing this story. Let me ask you a question. In my 58 years of hearing stories, and you hear stories on jobs and many times, and you hear it, and the next week they may tell you the same story, but they'll tell you with different characters. But it's the same story. So don't come here to me with that. Brother Bram said, you know, hey, the point was made. Amen. But this word that he preached was infallible. The man, he made mistakes. Yes, sir. He puts on his shoes just like me and you do. Puts on his clothes. He even told them, said, don't do that. You made me Antichrist. I'm your brother. Amen. And he's gone on and they're still doing it. Amen. But I tell you one thing, the word that he brought will set me and you free and get us ready for a rapture. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh my. Then I heard, recognizing your day. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, on that message, recognizing your day and its message, he said there'll come a time when they'll take the one nation under God out of the national anthem, out of the Pledge of Allegiance. We see it, brothers and sisters. All we might have thought is going to come a different way. Amen. But now you got to be politically correct. Don't get on nobody. Don't rock nobody's boat. Don't say nothing. Hey, but sin, sometimes it needs to be dealt with. Amen. And I might not, and Brother Doug might not be politically correct, but if the boat needs to be rocked, I'm going to rock the boat. Amen.
Yes,
hallelujah. I heard recognizing your day. Serpent seed and perfect faith. The breach and the message of grace. And Lord, I thank you. The message of grace. Brother Brandon said on that message, it was God's grace to Israel that sent them a pillar of fire, that sent them a prophet. It was God's grace to them. What about me and you? It was God's grace that he sent us the pillar of fire again in this our day. God's grace to us. It was God's grace that opened our eyes. It was God's grace, brothers, to you that you know how to act and treat your wife. God's grace to us. It was God's grace to you sisters that show you how to dress and how to act and how to conduct yourself like a sister in Christ. Amen. Oh, I know the love of God. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I see such things as the coming of the Lord, the rapture mystery. I've heard, but now I see. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Job said, I've heard of thee, but now I see.
Yeah. Right.
I wasn't there when the light wrote on the wall.
Right.
But I've heard, and now I see.
Hallelujah.
I wasn't there, amen, when the squirrels were spoken into existence. But I've heard, and now I see. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad. Amen. That he opened my eyes that I could see. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God in simplicity. The spoken word is an original seed. And Lord, I thank you.
Amen.
Maybe this. Maybe you've come off. We've had several people in our church. Amen. Especially one sister. She's had so many problems, cancer and different things. They put a colostomy bag on her. Amen. Then they had to go in and take it out and all them kind of, I don't know, just all what they had to do. My wife might be able to tell you more than I can. But you know what? She still comes to church. She's healed and she's still praising God. And every now and then she'll get up and sing a special. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe you've been on a bed of affliction and you wonder, say, God, am I going to come off this bed? Am I going to die? What's it going to be like, Lord? And you begin to think and the thoughts in your mind, what am I going to do? What am I going to leave behind? Who am I going to leave behind? But in your hour of despair, you begin to cry out to God and God comes on the scene and brings you out of that bed of affliction and you can say, I know the love of God. Amen. I know his love. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe in our own personal life, we've had great losses. Bills were piling up. No hope in sight. Bankruptcy staring us in the face. Amen. But the tide has changed And we can exclaim, I know the love of God. Amen. Other ways besides what they see, there's something that they feel. Oh, I like that. Something that you can feel. And we ain't supposed to go by feelings, but sometimes I like just to feel that he's right there. You know, amen, that he's right there. Hallelujah. Oh, there's times when the Father takes us, his child, picks us up in his arms. Amen. You remember when he took Elijah under a juniper tree. Brother Bram said every now and then we all need a juniper tree. Amen. Oh, and brought him a sandwich, some water to sustain him on his journey. Hallelujah. Amen. And begin to had one of the angels, he said, with the softest palms. Amen. To come down and just begin to stroke his brow. Oh, ain't you glad that every now and then, amen, he comes our way and he picks us up in his arms and he takes, he begins to stroke our brows. Oh, Brother Doug, I know all about it. Don't worry. I got everything under control. Amen. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. I got everything just, amen. Everything's clicking on 100 and everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad for that. Amen. That he does that. Amen. Oh, God, give me a juniper tree tonight. Amen. That you can come pick me up in your arms and begin to stroke my brow and say, don't worry, my son. Everything's going to be all right. Then he sent him down there to a widow woman's house. And the Bible says that there was many widows in the days of Elijah, but he was only sent to one. You know why he was sent to that one? Brother Branham said, don't be certain of God. The reason he was sent to that widow woman's house, she was of the same caliber as Elijah. Glory to God. You know why Malachi 4 came my way? I was of the same caliber as Malachi 4. Amen. And I heard the eagle scream. Amen. I'm so glad I was of the same caliber. I could respond back to the word. The deep calling to the deep. And when there's a deep calling, there's a deep to respond. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew. He said, Brother David, how old are you? 58. But you know what? Kind of reminds me when Brother Bram came in touch with them Pentecostal. Had that 90-year-old black guy come out there. He said, I was kind of feeling sorry for himself, for him. He said, why didn't he get some young ones? But said, he didn't talk about what was going on down on earth. He took it over to the horizontal rainbow. Yeah. Brought him back over here. Hey, amen. Begin to say, where were you? Hey, amen. Job, where were you? When the, hey, amen. When the morning stars begin to shout for joy. Hey, amen. Where were you at? Job said all of a sudden the power of God hit him. He jumped up, clicked his heels together, went stepping off that platform, said, you ain't got enough room up here for me to preach. Said he had more room than I got back at my church. But there was just something about it. Whew. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just something about it. You lose all sense of time, all sense of direction. I thank God gives me and you a temporary resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, you know what? I just love that prophet. You know, he went through a lot of things to bring me and you this gospel. They lied on him. He went to Chicago, caused a full gospel businessmen's convention, asked him to speak. When he went there, he had promised Madison Bozay that he would preach for him. And because they, and when they found out he was going to preach for Madison Bozay, they got aggravated at him and said, you better call him, tell him you came or you won't be preaching here. He said, I can't do it. I gave him my word. They got up there and said, Brother Branham had to leave. Said his brother got sick. Had to leave. And Sister Meaty sitting out there in the congregation couldn't even drive. Lied on him. Where are they going to stand on that day? But he came. Went through all that to bring me and you this gospel. When he went beyond the curtain of time. Amen. And he went over there. And he said, oh, I want to see Jesus. They said he's just a little bit higher. And he said, well, Paul's group. No. He said, yeah, Paul, his group, he'll have to stand with his group, and he'll have to be judged, and, you know, and all that. He said, well, Paul preached water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. I preached it. Yeah. Amen. Where he preached against, I preached against it. Amen. And every one of them screamed over there, we're resting on that. We're resting on that. And said, because you came, that's why we're here. Because you went, that's why we are here. And we're resting on that word that you preach. Amen. And when he went back, he didn't want to go back. But the angel of the Lord said, you keep pressing. You keep going on. You keep pressing the battle. If there ever was a time, brothers and sisters, where we need to keep pressing the battle, it's now.
Amen. Amen. Oh, he presses us up to his bosom, kisses us with the kiss of his lips. Oh, this is a fine experience set forth. The tender communion which God has with his children. And there are times when his spirit bears witness with my spirit that we are a child of God. Amen. You know, it may be dark with thick darkness. Seasons in our life. You know, we go through seasons just like this earth goes through seasons. Now, I don't know what season you as individuals or you as this church may be going through. But whatever season you're going through, always remember, he's right there. And he knows just exactly. Oh, it may be thick darkness. You might not be able to see your hand in front of you. Amen. Oh, you can't see or feel God. All strength and hope are gone. You look upward, downward, and all around us, nothing but despair, care, and dismay. In times like these, we might not can say, I know the love of God, but I believe it. Amen. All hell is coming against me. Storm clouds are rolling in. The winds are blowing and the floods are coming. But he said he would never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. And that's a promise I'm resting on tonight. To feel God's love is precious. But to believe it when you can't feel it, it's grand. When there's no visible evidence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We talked about the Christian experience. Let's just talk about the believer's testimony for a little bit. I believe every one of us in here tonight, if we're a Christian, we're a testifier.
That's right.
Everything that God has made speaks of him. One speaks of his power. Another of his majesty. Others tell of his wisdom. Some of his goodness. But every saint has a different testimony. Me and you have different, we could sit down tonight and talk about it. And we all have a different testimony. How God brought us here. How he led us this way. How he kept us. A long life's journey.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it was him all the time keeping us. Amen. And getting us ready because he had, oh, you say, well, that was a prophet. Sure, he was a prophet. He had our office to hold. But what about me and you? Amen. Hey, I know he's kept me. Amen. There have been many times I would have wrecked up, but he's kept me along the way.
Oh,
I wouldn't be able to stand up here and preach to you tonight. Amen. Oh, my. But every one of us have a testimony. Amen. One of his power, like I said, another of his majesty, but you all can testify. Amen. Of his goodness, of his mercy to you. Amen. We have a different testimony. We are to be a witness with our heart and with our lips. Amen. I wanted a word. Amen. I want to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. Amen. When I go somewhere to preach, I got a church back home that I'm representing. I want to be able to go back home. And you can say, hey, I like that brother David. He came here and he was all right. And hey, amen. He said he preached the word regardless of fear or favor of man. And he stayed right with it. And he wasn't a bother. I hate to go anywhere and be a bother to anybody. I'd rather pay my own way sometimes than to be a bother to anybody. Amen. And there was times that we had to. Ask my wife. There was times when people would do this for us. Everything, the check wouldn't be no good or whatever. Hey, we've had that. But I still go back and preach for them or whatever. Amen. Why? Because I know the love of God.
Amen. We all have a testimony. We can say our testimony to an unbelieving world and to a poor, despairing sinner. Amen. That's that we know and believe the love that God has toward us. Amen. We can tell it to a sinner tonight that if you're here and you don't know God, we can tell you that, hey, we're a testifier tonight of God's love to us. Amen. How that He's kept us. Amen. How that He's kept us from the wreck many times, out of the hospital many times. It's God's love toward us. Another thing, this love is, it's undeserved. With tears in our eyes, we can say we were undeserving of God's love. Think about His love. Think about His grace. Nothing in us to cause it. Our testimony is that God has loved us. We're sure of it. Because there was nothing, not anything in us by nature that He could love. But He loved us anyhow. Amen. Oh, the song says, the scripture says, in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Amen. There's no good thing that dwells in us. And we know that the love of God toward us, it's free. It's sovereign. Oh, I like sovereign. Amen. Brother Brown said, God's love, God's grace is sovereign. He don't have to ask nobody for anything. Do I have to heal this sister? He don't have to ask you permission for anything. It's sovereign. Oh, I like that. Amen. Sovereign to us tonight. Amen. Oh, do you know the love of God? You know, I was thinking about that. You know, about the testimony up there. Brother Donnie had texted me. Want me to come preach for him. So I texted him back, said I'd be able to come certain date. So all right, just plan on coming. So I told my wife, she'd always been wanting to go up there in North Carolina to the Biltmore, Asheville, North Carolina. So they said, you know, immaculate house, said it's real pretty. So I said, all right. So I told her, I said, well, we'll just make plans. We'll take you, I'll take you. We'll just go up there, be on our way. We'll just stop by there, spend a couple days, and then we'll go up to Brother Donnie's. So she said, all right, so I still clean the daycare where she worked at. So I've been cleaning it for about 17 years. So we was cleaning it. She worked all day, you know, getting the house ready, packing clothes. And, you know, we had three vehicles. And she was in a car, and I was in my truck. And so, and then we had another one at home that she was, well, we was going to go home and pack it and get ready to go. Well, she pulled out of the parking lot before I did. And so I get out and I run into a red light and I said, man, you know, I called her, said, I'm right behind you. Said, I just got caught by this signal light. So going on, and then I come to this busy intersection. All of a sudden, there's this wreck. Come upon this wreck. I said, well, I need to call my wife and tell her. I said, I don't know how long this is going to be, how long I'm going to be stuck. And I seen this truck sitting over there. I said, that must be, somebody must have hit that truck, or that truck hit somebody. And I seen two women go over there. This man gets out of the truck, and he's kind of staggering. He walks over there, and he sits down, and they're tending him. I said, there's got to be somebody else in that wreck, or what happened? And so I kind of inched my way around, and I looked, and I said, my Lord, that's our car. That's my wife. And so she had that wreck, and she seen that truck coming out of the corner of her eye going to run that red light, and he was going, said couldn't stop, and she said she swerved, and if she hadn't swerved, it would have hit her dead center, the driver's door, probably killed her. So she got taken to the hospital by way of ambulance, went up there and everything. So we prayed and called some brothers in the church and different ones, and you know, and just begin to pray, and she come out, and her neck was kind of sore and stiff, but other than that, so the next day we get up and we pack and we go on our way. Hey, man, somebody called me on the way because I preached this same message. He said, Brother Dave, can I ask you a question? I said, what's that? He said, do you know the love of God? I said, you got to believe I know the love of God. Amen. I know His love to me is real. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, it's sovereign. It's undeserved. And it springs entirely from the overflowing love of His own heart. And it's not caused by anything in us. Another thing this love is, it's unconquerable. In other words, you can't conquer His love. Because at one time, me and you, if you remember when you first came, or maybe heard this message or whatever, or God was dealing with your heart, you strove against it. You didn't want to come this way. Brother Homer testifies back home, said, I hated this. He said, I didn't want nothing to do with this. Amen. So this brother came home, came over his house one time, wanted to play him a tape. Said, I was watching television. Said, he was cutting into my television time. But once Brother Homer began to recognize and see this message and recognize his day, he went back to that same brother and said, hey, you got a couple more of them tapes we can listen to? He said, let's listen to one right now. He said, you got to understand, some of them things are 2 and 3 hours long. Hey, amen. But God began to deal with him, begin to open his eyes. Hey, amen. Oh, we can always testify that. Many of us can. Hey, amen, that we strove against God's love. We didn't want to come this way. Hey, amen. We certainly didn't want to be a preacher, whatever. He knocked at our heart's door, but we would not open. He invited us, but we would not come. He called, but we would not hearken. And Solomon said it like this, how that the dew on the locks on his back of his hair was wet with the dew, where he's outside knocking, trying to gain entrance. But the little bride would not get up and open up. Amen. But he kept knocking. Amen. Oh, but we could not give in. We would not get up to let him in. Amen. Oh my. If we could have conquered it, we would have. But in spite of all we did, he still loved us. Amen. Amen. Of all the mistakes we've made since we became a Christian, his love toward us has not diminished. Hallelujah. If he could have cast us away, he'd have done it a long time ago. Hallelujah. But we're here tonight still giving him praise and glory. Hallelujah. He'd have cast us away a long time ago. Another thing this love is, it's immutable. We have changed. But he has never changed. We have doubted him. But when we doubted him, when we believed not, he's remained faithful. Amen. Amen. We've seen people come and go. Hey, I've been in this for a while. I've seen them. I've seen people, Brother Doug, they come in, they stand up, prophesy, speak in tongues, and glory to God. Brother Doug's my pastor. Or Brother Homer, whoever. And then something happens, and they get offended. Bye-bye. Where they at? Somebody lied. Either God did not speak to you like you thought he had and told him you were supposed to be here, or something's wrong. Something's wrong. But I still know the love that God has for me. Yeah, I've seen people come and go. We've had hard trials. We've been through pain and discomfort. Been through disappointments. We said things, done things, and the memories sometimes. Oh, we can't erase them. Oh, God, I wish I could. Sometimes the memories, we go back, we can't erase the memories. But he's always been there. Amen. When we changed and we moved, he's always been there. My dad used to sing a song. He was there all the time, amen, waiting patiently. Hallelujah. Amen. It's always been there. We've been through the scorn of men. We've buried friends and loved ones, but we've seen God. Like I said, we've lived unfaithful, but he's remained faithful. If we had the choosing, if he come down right now and say, Brother David, you choose. You got the opportunity right now to choose and mark out the rest of your life how you want to live it. You know what I'd say? That song we sang, Amazing Grace. Through many toils and snares, I've already come. And grace has seen me thus far, and grace will see me on. I say, God, you keep mapping my way out. I can't do it, Lord, but you keep mapping my way out. I need you in my life, Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Encouragement. Let me say this. Maybe you've had trials on every hand. Maybe you're going through a trial tonight. Maybe you're tired and worn. We all get that way, weary. You don't pick up a tape and listen to it where Brother Brim say, I'm so tired. I'm weary. And the gift that he had, I can see. Brother Doug, I just listened to him and listened to people's testimony. He come out from under discernment. Sometimes he didn't know where he was standing right there, where he was at. Said they have to ride him around in a car. He came to himself. Said he'd come out and he'd be getting in the back room. He'd stagger And said, and I heard testimony. Said Billy. Said, you know, Billy. He thought Billy was going to preach, but he knew Billy wasn't called to preach. But he said he was called to work with me. And said Billy knew when Brother Branham had enough. And said he would tug him on his coat or something like that. And if Brother Branham did something, that means just give him a few more minutes. But he said he started staggering. Billy said, that's it. He had to. And back out, he'd carry him out. And he began to say, that person sitting back there, you're not from here. You're from so-and-so. You're healed. Go home. Get him in the car. He's still under that discernment, still calling out people. Get him in the car. Had to ride him around. And said he began to cry. He began to weep. He said, take me home. Take me back. I want to see mama. I want to see the kids. Take me home. But he did that for me and for you. He was tired and worn. Weary. What about me and you? Battle scarred. You can look back and say he's helped me. And he's been with me this far. Hadn't he? He's been with you this far. Can I ask you a question? You going to dishonor him now? What would your answer be? You going to give up now? You've trusted him this far. You going to keep trusting him? Amen. Amen. Will you trust him now? And Satan has commission to try you like he did Job. Because he's going to prove that you are what you are. That you say what you are. Said he told Job, said there's, and God, and the Lord said, there's none like him. He hates evil and he loves me and there's none like him. Job said, yeah, you just got a hedge. Let me have him for a few minutes. I'll make him curse you to your name. He said, all right, go ahead, but don't take his life. And just remember, whatever you go through, Satan's got, he's allowed to do that, but he's got to play by the rules of the game. And Job said, though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I'll come forth as gold. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be his holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Satan says he serves you now, but let me afflict him. Let me cause him problems. I want to be like Job. Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I'll come forth like gold. The devil may say it like this. And the Bible says, they that compare themselves by themselves are not wise. Oh, but he's a good adversary, ain't he? He'll come around and he'll say it like this. He'll say, look at your debts. If God really loved you. Oh, if God really loved you, see, you'd be acting like Brother Doug, or you'd be acting like, you know, Sister So-and-so. If you really love God and God really loved you. Has he talked to you? He'll come by and he'll say, look at your children. Look how they're messed up. And they don't serve him. If God really loved you. He'd say, look at your body. Look how you're wore out. Look how you ache all over, racked with pain and all that. If God really loved you. But I want to say it to him tonight. No matter what you say, devil, let God be true and everything else be a lie. I want to be like Paul. I know in whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Whew. Hallelujah. Let me read you something. Mighty God unveiled. Brother Branham says it like this, 1964. In the Old Testament, the old badger skins. What did it do? It hid the glory of God from the people. The badger skins. The reason people couldn't see it is because a skin that held it. The glory of God was behind that skin. And now the glory of God is behind your skin. That's right. And the traditions don't see it. It's inside the veil where his word was, which was the inside, that skins back there, that old badger skins, which there was no beauty that we should desire it. Oh, but me and you now hide it. Oh, and the prophet of God said on the message, the comforter, he said that word, when it was made flesh, and that flesh held that word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word was God. And in the 14th verse, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that word, that flesh held it. And it said, now me and your flesh holds that word. And it said, if we don't compromise, it said, if we don't compromise the word, We stay right with that word and we don't compromise it. Our flesh that holds it, it'll produce the same thing that it did in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The sick will be healed. The dead will be raised. Amen. The drug addicts will be delivered. Amen. Hallelujah. Because it's a skin that holds it. Maybe we can't comprehend the love God has to us. But if we could go around the galleries tonight, just start going around, and we could ask each and every one of us, and you would say, I was a drunken sop. I was this. I was a wretched sinner. But one day he came my way. I was a whoremonger. I was this. I was that. You young people, you may say, well, I was never this or that. Hey, man, I was never out in the world. Thank God that you got a testimony that you ain't got no scars like some of us older ones have got that's been out in the world. You can tell the devil it's the devil anytime. I can become like you are, but you never can become like me. Hallelujah. We could go around. We could tell, I was this, I was that, I was an adulterer, I was this. I was out in the world, I was a swearer, but God has forgiven me. Thank God. What a testimony, what a testimony that you can have. In closing, I want to read this quote. On the Hebrews series, question and answers, part 2. 1957, listen to what he says. He says, oh, no wonder when men catch that vision. There's never been a man could explain it. They even tried to explain it, losing their mind. This great song of love of God, how rich and pure, how fathomless and strong. That last verse, I believe, that first verse it is. If we would ink the ocean field, and where the skies of parchment made. You know where that was found? Written on the insane wall in an insane institution. No man can never explain that love of God. Oh, it can never be told what he did for us. My, how could you place one merit out there? It's his grace from beginning to end. I was lost, undone, and helpless. No good. Nothing about it. And he, by his grace, came and saved us. Oh my, that's his. That's my Lord. That's his love. That's his goodness. Stand together. So that's his goodness. That's his love. Many times we've sung that song. They want to come to their music. They sang that song, oh, love of God, how rich and pure. And one verse in there, it says, it's the saints. An angel's song. But you know what? I beg to differ. Yeah. One of these days, the angels are going to have to bow their head because they can't sing the song of redemption. Right. Me and you will be able to sing that song of redemption. Yeah. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. There's a little boy. If I told it here, forgive me, but there's a little boy one time. And he made this little boat. And he painted the boat red. And he called it his little red boat. And he'd go out behind the canal, back of his house, and he would sail his little red boat up and down the canal. Oh, and he loved his little red boat. And my brother Doug, he'd sail it up and down the canal. But one day the current got kind of strong. And he took his boat away from him. And he tried to reach it, tried to grab it. But his boat got caught in the current, and he lost his little red boat. Oh, he was in despair. Can you imagine a little boy losing his boat? Oh, he was just heartbroken. Well, a couple weeks later, his dad said, son, you've been real good. You've done your chores, and you've done everything your mama has said and your daddy has told you to do. He said, I'm going to go to town tomorrow and conduct some business. And said, I'll give you some allowance and you can go window shopping while I'm doing the business. And then I'll come and get you. He said, all right, Dad. So That morning come, and he cut up. And they went to town. His dad said, all right, son, I got to go conduct my business. See, he was walking up and down the streets, and he came by this pawn shop. He looked in, and he spied his little red boat in that pawn shop. And he went in there, and he told that, asked that pawn shop owner, he said, how much for that little red boat? That pawn shop owner said, so much. And he emptied himself out. All that he had to purchase that little red boat. When he walked out, he said, you're mine. You're mine, little red boat. You're twice mine. See, I built you. I created you. And I lost you. But I bought you back. So you're twice mine. Tonight, we're twice his. He created us in his image. But we was lost and undone. And he came by our way one day. We was in a pawn shop. But he poured all that he had. Gave all that his life. So he could buy us back. And we're twice his tonight. Because he created us. And we was lost. And he bought us back. So we're twice his. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh, love of God, how rich, how pure. Lord, we love you tonight, Lord. We appreciate you tonight, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, for your mercy to us, Lord, for your love that you have for us. Oh, do we know the love of God? I can say, yes, I know the love of God. Thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to feel and see your love. All around me I can look, Lord, and I can see your love on every hand, Lord. But, Lord, when I can't see, or when I'm going through some kind of season in my life, Lord, that seems like all hell is breaking loose, I got a promise. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me, but you'd carry me through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, for your mercy, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Brother King, y'all know that song, It Is Well. It is well with my soul. Let's sing it. Amen. Y'all know it. I like that one part where it says, not just part, but the whole was nailed to the tree. It is well with my soul. Let's sing it. Amen. Like a river. Yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Sorrow. A billows roll. Yes, Lord. It is well. My soul. It is well. Yes, Lord. Oh, do you believe that tonight? My soul, with my soul, hallelujah. Oh, let's just worship in church. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Runs. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.